Please go ahead.
Good morning. This is the Accountability and Transparency Review Team call of Monday, October 25th. Someone just joined. Who's joined?
I think that was the recording.
Oh, that was the recording. Okay. We only have one order of business today, which is to finalize Working Group 4 piece of the report and then get that off for translation. As I noted in my email, I have sent the balance of the document off to the translators yesterday, so that process should be underway. Did everyone receive the updated language that I sent about 20 minutes ago? Did anybody not receive it?
Just looking at it.
I'm not connected. Yeah.
well, I'm so Olivia, you don't have it? Who else doesn't have it?
I probably do, but I haven't got to it yet.
Can you just describe what you've done?
Yeah. Well, what I've done is, Olivia, you sent an email suggesting that the language I drafted in the findings section be put back into the document. So I circulated a document that has these pieces. It has the executive summary section that's specific to Working Group 4 appeal mechanism for board decisions. And in that draft, it has Manal's proposed language, which is circulated on a list. And then it has the report of Working Group 4. And in the findings section, there are two edits that have been proposed by Warren in the past few days in the findings, as well as that language that I had proposed, Olivia, that you just asked be put back into the draft or at least be discussed. And then lastly, in the recommendations section, it has the language that, again, Manal had proposed on the list that appeared to receive strong agreement.
So that was the original language plus the addition of Fabio's suggestion of three twice.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Although,
Go
ahead, Chris.
Well, it would help me enormously if you could simply tell us what the language that's gone back into the findings is.
Yeah, I'm happy to read it. If you'll bear with me.
Because yours is not, the document I've got from you is not redlined.
No.
The one that I just sent 20 minutes ago?
Yeah.
But I'm looking at
22
minutes ago.
I'm looking at my phone, which may be
master 10.1?
Yeah.
It's not redlined? Oh,
well, not on my phone, it's not, and I don't have my computer here, so...
Okay.
It's redlined on my laptop, Brian, so somewhere it is going. It's gone out.
It's not redlined if you're opening it out it doesn't redline in mine. I've got to actually download it and open it in its original Word format. My viewer isn't showing it. I'll do that.
Are you saying they have redlining in New Zealand but not Australia?
It's on my... unfortunately, we're close, but I can't see Peter's computer from here.
Well, if you'll bear with me,
Chris, I'm just holding it up at the window here. And
incredibly clever.
Bear with me, and I will...
All those edits were in V10, that nobody commented on them. Yeah.
Yeah, they were. But that, I'm happy to read through. It's not that lengthy. So in the findings section, I'm going to read the first edit proposed by Warren. In the paragraph that was at the top of page 9, it reads, "In summary, while some members of the ATRT believe," and the original text was "thought," while some members
Fabio
of the ATRT...
Fabio, just come in. Apologies.
No problem. Welcome, Fabio. I was just about to walk through the proposed revised language in the draft that I sent about 20 minutes ago. I don't know if you've had access to that or not.
No.
Okay. I've done the following. There's a draft that people are looking at, some people are looking at, that has in the findings section a couple of edits from Warren that he proposed a few days ago, an edit that I had proposed And then in the recommendation section, it has the language that Manal has circulated recently.
Yep.
So for the folks who don't have it on hand, I was just going to read through the new language and get reactions. So we're in the findings section. On my draft, it's at the top of page 9. This is an edit that Warren had proposed. Again, in the findings section, it reads, in summary, while some members of the ATRT believe, and he replaced the word thought with believe, that having a binding appeals process is critical to ensure accountability to the community and the long-term viability of the multi-stakeholder ICANN model. That is an edit. Other members of the ATRT raised concerns that such a standard would create a new set of accountability and transparency issues by assigning to some new unnamed set of individuals the power to overturn board decisions. The ATRT did agree, however, that ensuring appeals mechanisms were sufficiently independent of the board was critical to ensuring accountability.
Fine. That was in the previous draft, wasn't it?
It was in the 10.0 draft, yes.
Yeah. Fine.
Any objections to the language?
This is Peter here. I'm just wondering, who are the people that believe a binding appeals process is critical?
I'm one of them, Peter.
So who are they?
Warren.
Right. Anyone else?
There was a deal. I can't remember exactly, Peter, but my recollection is that there was a. The language might be claimed to be simplistic, but there certainly was a divergence of opinion about how important a binding appeals process is or should be. I'm not sure that there's any harm in saying that there are differing opinions.
I'm just curious as to who they are, and I hear that Warren has that view, and if it's only Warren, why don't we say so? Well, if there are others, I mean, that's fine. But I thought most people agreed with, and I know Warren wasn't there when we had the discussion at Harvard. I thought most people agreed with Larry's sort of description, which has eventually become this, the second group. Other members raised concerns.
Any comment?
I certainly seem to think that during some of the back and forth in the last few days in between Harvard and now, that some other members have expressed some concerns about the lack of a binding process. But if nobody's stepping up at this point or agreeing with it.
Warren, it's Chris. My view is that whilst I wouldn't be prepared to say that I think a binding appeals process is critical, my view is that it should be looked at in some detail, and there are differing views about what the role of this this review team is as to what we should and shouldn't be doing. I certainly don't think there's a problem in saying that it's the view of some people that, you know, there should be a binding review. I'm challenged by the concept of binding the board. I think Larry's point about the board should be the board, and the way you solve the problem is by making the board work better. I'm attracted by that view, but I equally think that there's merit on the other side as well.
Fabio, here. My position was that there was some merit in having a mechanism that would force a second re-examination review of a number of issues. But then I was sharing Larry's point that at the end of the day, it would not be appropriate for this to be absolutely binding. I think it would be useful to maintain the present language that shows that there are different opinions, because it would also look a bit strange if so many people in the community were asking for a binding mechanism for the review of the decisions of the board, and then the whole group was to say to be against I think it's sufficient uncertain, the whole thing, to justify maintaining the present language.
I'm comfortable with the present language.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
When you say the present language, do you mean
the ones you just read out?
Warren's edits or not accepting Warren's edits?
No, that you just read out, which I believe includes Warren's edits.
Okay. So we have Fabio comfortable, Cheryl comfortable, Chris comfortable. Anybody else?
I'm good with it. This is Louis.
Louis comfortable with the language?
Me too.
Hi, this is Carlos. Me too.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. Okay, the language is accepted.
This is Manal Bryan.
Yes, Manal.
I also don't have a problem with the language. I mean, we did not conclude and we did not vote who is with and who is against. But what was obvious was that the discussions, we were brainstorming on the pros and cons, and there were good arguments on both sides. So somehow this has to be reflected into the text. There were two sides of the view.
Which I think is reflected in the language.
Which I, yeah,
I'm fine with this language or whatever language that would reflect.
It is constructed as showing two different views at present.
Yeah.
Any objections? Okay. The language is accepted then.
Can I ask the next question then? How, given that there are two views expressed, then do people feel about the last sentence, which seems to go back to the first proposition? Or is it the word sufficiently? The ATRT did agree, however, that ensuring appeal mechanisms were sufficiently independent of the board was critical. That goes right back to saying you have to go to someone independent, whereas the rest of the team, as far as I understand it, thinks you ought to force mechanisms to make the board do things properly. And here you are saying again, no, we have to go somewhere external and find an independent mechanism, and that's once again an essential step. Seems to be repeating the same dichotomy and picking one of them.
I'd understood that to refer to to the three mechanisms as a whole, and go and sheet home to the comments that we think that perhaps the ombudsman isn't as independent as the ombudsman could be. And also consider having the input to the board on pursuing recommendation 2.7 from independent experts, looking at whether in fact it is as independent as it could be. But if that language is deemed to be not clear enough, then I'm sure we could make a change to that. Brian, can I just ask you, because I still don't have a red line, where are we actually at? Which heading are we under on this document?
Findings. We're in the findings section.
Thank you very much. I'll find it now.
It's on page 8.
You would be... Bottom of page
8 of mine, Chris. Bottom of page 8.
Thanks.
Since pagination may be different...
it is.
One, two... Warren's edits were made to the third paragraph.
Yeah,
we are now...
Yeah,
we're on the third paragraph, and we're at the last sentence.
Got it.
Okay. Okay, so let me make a suggestion. Chris, if we change that to the ATRT did agree, however, that ensuring existing appeals mechanisms were sufficiently independent, would that better capture the meaning?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it probably would. And I don't think it's a problem because there's no question that the IRP is independent.
The whole point is none of those processes are independent. All of them come back to the board, and this says that they have to be. This completely changes the concept of accountability to an independent appeals mechanism, which only very few people actually agree with. It's the same dichotomy that's in the first paragraph. You either some say they should be independent, and others say they should not be because of the problem that raises. This sentence then says that appeal mechanisms have to be independent of the board again. So it doesn't say what Chris would like it to say. It repeats the mantra that appeal mechanisms have to be independent of the board.
The first sentence doesn't say that. The first sentence says that they should be binding to ensure accountability to the community. The first sentence deals with them being binding. the second sentence deals with them being independent. The point I was making, and I'm not dying in a ditch over this, and it's very much a semantic argument, but it seems to me that we have said elsewhere, unless I'm very much mistaken, that the IRP is independent. But we have said that the Ombudsman could be more independent and the reconsideration process isn't. So if in order to clarify that we're talking about all three, and we're talking specifically here about independence as opposed to bindingness, we need to make a change to that sentence, and that's fine by me.
Well, Chris, I think you've accurately shorthanded our view of the three different mechanisms, and it is a mixed bag, if you will.
But I'm happy to say that the current appeal, if there's any doubt that we are looking to create a new appeals mechanism, or there's a question of could we be looking to do that, which we demonstrably at this stage are not, if it's
right,
helpful to say simply assuring existing appeal mechanisms are sufficiently independent, then that's fine.
Any other discussion?
Well, the whole point is that none of them are independent because they come back to the board, and that's the whole flavour of this paper. It posits the test as being independent, and then complains they're not, and none of them are because they all come back to a decision of the board. And this appears to be saying there needs to be an independent appeal mechanism of that.
Fabio here. I think that there are two different issues. One is the independence from the board of this appeal mechanism in terms of their composition, their capacity to take independent decision. That is one issue, and this is one that I personally would defend. Then there is the question, do these independent people have the right to absolutely overrule in a binding way the decisions of the board? That's another issue, and that's where I say no. I would like them to be in a position to give a strong recommendation to the board that the board should really consider seriously, utmost consideration or whatever, but not a binding power on the board. So there are two issues. One is the independence in their work, but at the end of the day, once they've done their work independently, do they have the possibility to absolutely overrule the board or not?
Well, I think we all agree that that's not something... Sorry, most of us are agreed that that's not something we want.
Can I make a suggestion? I'm just trying to capture the meaning of what I'm hearing. Something along the lines of... Try this. The ATRT did agree, however, that ensuring existing appeals mechanisms were either sufficiently independent of the board or adequately structured was critical to ensuring accountability.
Again, it's fine with me.
I also agree, Fabio.
Yeah, that'll work.
Peter, does that hit it for you?
Well, I'm just trying to get clear. I don't think I should express a view. I'm trying to work out what this is saying.
That's fine. Well, let me try to map it then. There is a question. The ATRT has concluded that there is a question of independence with regard to the ombudsman. There seems to be a global framework that the ombudsman is not adhering to, and perhaps that affects its independence. So this language, in the one hand, either sufficiently independent, could be speaking to that. The reconsideration, on the other hand, we flatly say it's not independent because the BGC effectively makes the determinations here, but we've called into question the structure, or maybe one of the grounds of appeal, if you will. So the or adequately structured could map to that particular mechanism.
Well, the trouble with that wording, though, Brian, is that none of those two things are not appeals. Reference to the Ombudsman is not an appeal, and neither is reconsideration an appeal.
Well, then, if the issue is the use of the word appeal, we can use the words that we use in the recommendation, which
review.
Is reviews.
Review mechanisms.
Review mechanisms.
Yeah.
So should be review mechanisms sufficiently independent of the board.
So it would now read, the ATRT did agree however, that ensuring existing review mechanisms were either sufficiently independent of the board or adequately structured was critical to ensuring accountability.
That's fine.
Yeah, that better defines what we mean by independence, too, I think.
Well, it's a function of the recommendation, I think, that we want, that we're saying get independent expert advice on that. But then we've got to define what independent means from the point of view of expert advice, and we'll be here for months trying to work that out.
Yeah, plus we're also, this is a public comment document. We have more time for final recommendations. We can wrestle with that later.
Yep.
Any objections to the language I just read out? Okay, hearing none. Moving on. So the next paragraph would be new proposed language, and I'll read it out. The entirety of it is new proposed language. And it was put into the findings section to provide some background on this issue of the incomplete IIC recommendation work, and also put some context around the specific recommendations the ATRT was making. It reads as follows. The ATRT notes that work by ICANN and the community to address recommendations of the IIC was underway. Public comment had been received on proposed bylaw changes, but implementation work did not advance for reasons stated in ICANN staff's response to WG4's request for information. The ATRT recognizes that exploration by ICANN staff and the community of revised new mechanisms could continue. With respect to the AOC review, the ATRT identified specific issues with respect to the review mechanisms that should be addressed by ICANN in conjunction with a committee of independent experts. And I'm going to add that to that last sentence. With respect to the AOC review, the ATRT identified specific issues with respect to the existing review mechanisms that should be addressed by ICANN, et cetera.
Yep.
The three existing, Ron.
Thank you, Gary. Mm-hmm. Three existing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very important to explain recommendation one to have that language. That was really missing in the earlier version.
I agree.
Yep.
Any objection? Any proposed edits or changes?
Just one grammatical suggestion. First sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It is underway, not was.
Yeah, it was underway.
Or is it was? Maybe. It was. Okay, I'm sorry. I read a. Were I need to put on
and
my.
And what back. About replacing cool by should?
You're probably channeling Larry now.
Okay, so Brian.
Actually, this is Larry. I'm on now.
Ah, Larry,
hi,
we don't
Larry,
need to channel you with Burma language.
Brian, it's either the ATRT notes that the work is underway or noted that the work was underway. It's one or the other. So it either notes that it is underway or noted that it was underway.
Noted
that it was.
I also wondered about it being a should rather than a could.
Where's that, Cheryl?
In the could continue mechanisms.
Well, no, I think we're saying, aren't we saying it could, but it doesn't have to?
Well, I'm raising the point. Ought we not say should be a little more prescriptive?
Then it's a recommendation, in which case
the purpose of that was we were being clear that we were making specific recommendations with regard to the three and not asking that a holistic review be done of the prior work.
Correct. That's right.
This leaves it to the community and to ICANN itself about whether that work moves forward or not.
Mm. Yep.
Does anyone have any discussion on that? Any objection?
You could
say any suggested changes to the language?
Well, you could say if you wanted to be perhaps slightly more accurate, you could say the ATRT recognizes that exploration by ICANN staff and the community of revising mechanisms may continue. Because it's actually up to them to decide whether it continues or not.
I'm fine.
They have our permission to do so.
Exactly. We don't have to give them permission and could, you know, may, it may not, it's up to them.
I'm fine with that. Anybody else?
Okay.
But again, we can wordsmith it until the cows come home, really, can't we?
Oh, there's no more wordsmithing when we hang up.
Want a bet?
Any other suggested changes to the language? Any objections to the language? Okay, hearing none. Moving on to the last proposed edit to the findings section. And this was from Warren. Last paragraph would now read, last, the IRP is viewed as potentially costly and too long in duration to provide a broad-based and timely review mechanism for the broader ICANN community. Here comes Warren's proposed edit. Some members of the ATRT concluded that the IRP was inaccessible to most segments of the community and is therefore not an attractive alternative to courts as an appeals mechanism. Discussion.
Well, Peter here, let me make the point about appeals again.
Well, this is specific to the IRP.
This is the IRP, yeah.
So again, clearly it's not an appeal.
No, it's not. It's a
review mechanism.
That's hard.
That's the review mechanism.
But then the last sentence proposed by Warren still remains correct, because it is not an attractive alternative to courts as an appeals mechanism. Because it is not an appeals mechanism, it's a review mechanism.
It's not supposed to be an alternative, is what you're saying, Fabio, I think.
No, I find that whatever we say about the IRP, the last sentence proposed by Warren remains correct. The one that says, saying some members of the ATRT concluded that the IRP was inaccessible to most segments, and is therefore not an attractive alternative to courts as an appeals mechanism. One might even say it's not an appeals mechanism. Maybe we should be strengthening that.
But that's the point. If it's not an appeals mechanism, then the fact that it's not an attractive alternative is irrelevant, because it's like saying a massage is not an attractive alternative to a long car journey. I mean, the two things are entirely separate. And I think the point isn't the point, Warren. I mean, you made the suggestion. The suggestion. So, what's the message you're trying to deliver?
Well, I think the message here is that, given the, you know, there's only one case that we can actually look at, but given the cost, the time, the lack of binding, you know, quality, et cetera, that, you know, why would anybody bother with this? You know, why wouldn't you go to the courts?
I agree with that, but maybe you could say something like, because of the cost, blah, 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 which I think we've said earlier on, it's not a mechanism that people would be comfortable to use, especially in circumstances where launching court proceedings would be an alternative. So there will be circumstances where launching court proceedings is not an alternative.
Can I just intervene again? The reality, the fact, in the only case that there is, it's demonstrated to be an effective alternative to the court as a review mechanism. The only case we had of this sort has used this mechanism and not going to the court. It probably, because of the cost, etc., it probably is inaccessible to... Sorry, Brian, can we get rid of some of the crackle? Some of the noise on the line?
Go on mute, please, if you would, if you're not speaking.
The first part's probably, you know, undoubtedly true. Some members out here concluded that the IRP was inaccessible to most segments of the community. But the second part doesn't necessarily follow. Because because it has actually been the mechanism of choice for the only party that's used it.
Yes, that's a fair point.
Well, I think this is more...
Do you really need to say that last bit?
Sorry, Chris, I missed that. What was that?
Do you really need to say the last bit? Isn't enough to say, included that the IRP was inaccessible to most segments of the community, full stop?
You know, I think, you know, one of the things that we heard, and one of the things that, you know, well, Peter's right. First of all, I don't know, you know, ICM could still conceivably end up going to the, you know, the courts. I have no idea, but I think, you know, the issue is the fact that it's non-binding, and in this particular case was very extended and expensive. Why would someone not opt for the courts where, you know, at least perhaps after a series of appeals, the decision's binding?
Well, I'll give you a reason. One reason you would go is if you thought you were going to lose in court, then you were just going to roll the dice and take your gamble on three, you know, unelected people and hope you might convince them of something else. That's my problem with the IRP, is that it doesn't have limits around it the way courts would.
So Larry, you're suggesting we should just scrap the IRP. I mean, the IRP is not the place to go. You're better off going to the courts.
Unless you think you're going to lose.
Right.
In which case you say, well, I've only got one option left, and I'm not suggesting that was – I have no idea what the motivation was of the one example where it was used. But speaking hypothetically, if you have this as a mechanism, if you've lost at the board, if you don't think you're going to do well in the courts – But you've got this third option, which is a total Hail Mary. People might use it, depending on how much it's at risk.
And, Larry, the cynics in the process say you only have to appeal to one person because the person you appoint is going to vote your way. The person I can appoint is going to vote ICANN's way. And so all you really need to do is persuade the floating third person. So that would be a cynical view.
Yeah, God forbid we should have one of those.
Warren, what I'm hearing from you, though, is you recognize that you're doing an apples-to-oranges comparison, and that's implicit in the statement you're trying to make. Just to kind of see if we can get to it.
You know, I guess I'm wondering here, you know, if Larry's kind of suggesting that he's not comfortable with the IRP process, doesn't matter for what reasons, and I'm suggesting that, you know, why would you use it? You go to the courts, you know, you have at least a few shots at a better outcome, and I think we're both saying, you know, in some ways the courts are not a bad, you know, aren't people going to sort of be looking at the courts as an alternative, given the fact that this process is long, costly, and at the end, non-binding.
Well, the statement begins, some members of the ATRT concluded. So that's what we're putting on paper here. Larry and Warren, it sounds like you're in a similar place.
Well, I don't think Larry would take that opinion at this particular juncture on this, but I do think in some ways we're both saying, well, in different ways, that the court actually represents something of an attractive alternative, and if that's the case, then, you know, why are we? What's really the point of the IRP?
I don't mind that the IRP exists, but my concern is that there have been enough concerns raised about it, and I'm concerned about implementing changes to address the concerns people have raised. I think, as I've said numerous times before now, takes us down a road where we're just going to recreate all the same issues we have about the board with three people who aren't elected to anything in a position to kind of go off the rails if they're inclined to. So I don't have a lot of interest in trying to make this mechanism more accessible to people or make it more likely to be used because of those reasons.
How about this? I've mocked the language a little bit here. some members of the ATRT concluded that the IRP was inaccessible to most segments of the community and is not necessarily an attractive alternative to courts as a review mechanism.
I mean, that's a statement of fact. I don't oppose the statement of fact. I only raised concerns about the implications, but I wasn't trying to change the language that's before us. It's just the unstated implication beyond that is where I have an issue, but I don't have a problem with the language as you've read it.
Okay. Are there any objections to the language?
Read it one more time, Ron.
Well, do we go with Warren's version?
Just the one you just read out.
Yeah, I don't mind the one you just read out either, Brian.
All right, let me try that. Some members of the ATRT concluded that the IRP was inaccessible to most segments of the community and is not necessarily an attractive alternative to courts as a review mechanism.
That's fine.
Any objection?
Aye.
Okay. Hearing none, the finding section is closed. I'll make those edits. Now on to the recommendation language. And I'll read it out. This is now what's on the table as circulated by Manal. So the recommendation is the ICANN board should implement as soon as possible, but no later than insert date. Recommendation 2.7 of the 2009 Improving Institutional Confidence Implementation Plan, which calls on ICANN to seek input from a committee of independent experts on the restructuring of the three review mechanisms, the independent review panel, the reconsideration process, and the Office of Ombudsman. This should be a broad, comprehensive assessment of the accountability and transparency of the three existing mechanisms, their interrelation, if any, in parentheses, i.e., do the three processes provide for a graduated appeals process?
Review process.
Yes, close parens. With a view towards reducing costs, issuing timelier decisions, and covering a wider spectrum of issues in the IRP.
No, I don't. Along with Larry, I think I don't understand the background to the last point. Well, where's the evidence that a wider spectrum of issues is required to be included in independent review?
Yeah, I thought the one place that came up was the reconsideration request.
Mm.
Yeah, it shouldn't say the issues in the IRP. It should be issues in the review mechanism, I think. This should be
important. Well, again, where's the evidence that there are issues that you cannot take to the ombudsman that you should? Or issues that you should be able to take to IRP, but you can't. Yeah, as Larry said, the only issue that I'm aware of, because I raised it, was the scope of reconsideration.
Mm.
Well, I'm not saying there aren't more. I just haven't seen any evidence of it or heard any discussion about it.
Well, I think I agree with that. I think if you try to do this incrementally, if you start by taking out the words in the IRP at the end. So it says, with a view towards reducing costs, issuing timely decisions, and covering a wider spectrum of issues, that knocks out the specific reference to the IRP, and then all you have to do is talk about whether you think a wider spectrum of issues does need to be covered or not. And certainly in respect to the reconsideration mechanism, I think we've agreed that. Brian, did you get the change of appeals process to review process in the brackets? I.e., do the three.
Yes, yeah, yes, I did.
Yeah.
Got it.
It should be provide, not provide. Yeah.
Yeah, I got provide.
Yeah,
I got provide and review.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other discussion? On this last point.
I suggest to add the last sentence. I don't know if you have it in my mail this morning, saying the ATRC identifies specified issues that should be addressed. I think it's important to have some reference to the work of the ATRC, so that if one takes this paragraph out of the context, it doesn't give the impression ATRC has done nothing.
Oui, attends. You're right, Olivier. I forgot one last sentence.
I mean, just to, yes, to discuss. I mean.
At the end of this paragraph, Olivier had suggested that we include the specific issues identified by the ATRT with respect to the review mechanisms should be addressed in this context. That would be the three review mechanisms. I'll include that now. Other discussion on the last point in particular, the one that referenced the IRP, Chris's suggestion of modifying the language.
I've got a slightly different question, which is the recommendation 2.7 is not limited to the three recommendations, to the three current review, but you keep restricting this review of 2.7 to just the three mechanisms. Is that deliberate? Is there a reason why the full recommendation 2.7 isn't being taken up?
Shorthand answer is yes, it's deliberate. But what we're trying to do is make it clear that the ATRT had some findings with respect to the three mechanisms and wants an consultation with independent experts on those specific points. Now I'd have to look at the scope of 2.7 and see where we've restricted it, Peter, to answer your question.
Well, it says, I've got it in front of me. It says, seek advice from a committee of independent experts on the restructuring of the review mechanisms to provide a set of mechanisms that will provide for improved accountability in relation to individual rights, and having regard to the two proposed further mechanisms in recommendations 2.8 and 2.9 below.
Yeah, we've cleaved off 2.8 and 2.9 by design, and that goes back to the earlier language we reviewed where we said that work may continue. We're making a dichotomy between 2.8, 2.9, and 2.7, as you read it. So I think what we need to do is make that explicit.
Well, I thought you were. You are. I'm just checking that it's deliberate.
No, it's a good catch, Peter. It is deliberate, unless anyone questions that.
We had words about 2.8 and 2.9 in there originally, but there was no agreement on those. So we took them out.
Is 2.8 the community revote?
Yes, it is, Larry. Yeah.
That's right.
I thought, did we have an outstanding request to Berkman to give us something back on that? Did I miss whatever that
was?
Actually,
no. Professor Goodenough, while we were in Boston, spoke with James Waddell about it. They sat down and went over all of these points. And I guess, James, whatever he spoke to you about was worked into your earlier text, right?
Well, he talked about California law. Somebody talked to us about the California law, but I wasn't aware of any readout on community revotes.
Yeah, I think that will, Brian, this is James speaking. I think that was discussed in the context of a change to the model that would include some type of membership. So I wouldn't say that it was directly lifted from that discussion with Professor Goodenough.
What were his inputs on that particular question, community revote?
Well, he didn't have any inputs on that particular question. It was in the context of discussing California law, the idea that there would be a creation of a membership category, and then that membership, it would be more of a membership revote than a community revote. So he didn't really weigh in on this particular idea.
I mean, I realize that we as a group maybe aren't prepared to make a recommendation, but personally, I'd like to know more about community revote before we just dispense with it. It may have overwhelming problems, but I had just felt that we didn't know enough when we were talking about it in Boston, and that's why I thought we had referred it to Berkman to kind of give us a hey, here are the pros and cons of this kind of mechanism so that we could decide if we wanted to make a judgment about whether it should be studied further.
I had asked Erst for that specifically, and he said Professor Goodenough is here and James is drafting at the hotel. Why don't I put the two of them together? It wasn't reported back into the entire review team. We didn't have a discussion on it. You're right about that. So if that was the only advice that he gave to James, and we haven't gotten a full readout from Berkman on that particular question.
Brian, it's Chris. James, I seem to remember, I could be wrong here, but I seem to remember that after you'd spoken to Professor Goodenough, we talked, and that his input had been, and I may be paraphrasing here, but his input had been along the lines of, it's almost impossible to run a community revote unless you know who your community is. And in the case of a membership organization, then it's very clear because your members can organize a community revote. And didn't he make reference, I think it was you that told me this, didn't he make reference to something like the Scouts or the Girl Scouts some organization where he said they do that. But the challenge in the ICANN model is that there's no membership, and so therefore, whereas in the, like, tonight, this is me talking now rather than him, whereas in the CC world, it's fairly easy to see who your community is because it's members. In the G world, it's much harder because anyone can turn up. And how do you decide that you've got a vote?
Chris, I don't quite understand what the relevance of that discussion is, because the recommendation doesn't talk about that. It talks about two-thirds of the councils of the supporting organisations who, to my knowledge, are all very well identified and similarly the advisory
group.
That sounds like setting up a problem. You know, it's interesting and hard to solve, but actually not relevant to the debate. The issue here was, I can tell you, the President's Strategy Committee spent a lot of time on these recommendations, and the whole point of 2.8 was because of the absence of any mechanism to get the board to look at the whole decision all over again. That's why this concept of re-examination was created, as opposed to reconsidering it on the limited grounds that are available or independently reviewing it by the outside. And the only objection that I'm aware of that's come from this is that the community comment that was very limited was that the threshold was too high. Getting two-thirds of all of the councils and all of the ACs, it was seen as being very hard to orchestrate.
Sure. Peter, I think that's absolutely right, and I agree with you. I was simply saying that's the input I think we got from James. But my recollection is that we had included, Brian, did we not include originally in our draft that 2.8 should also be part of the review? And someone was uncomfortable about that, and I can't remember who that was.
Well, I think where the discomfort came in, Chris, if I read it right, I may not have, was this concern about we're basically, as a review team, charged to do a review, asking ICANN to go do a review under the IAC. It fell under the umbrella of that overarching concern, and the solution to that was where we are now, which is we've cleaved off 2.8 and 2.9 as potential work that could be continued by the community, may be continued by the community and staff, and the HBRT making specific recommendations about consultations and independent experts on the three mechanisms. That was my read of how we got to where we are now.
Well, that's fine, except for two things. One, the words in findings don't make us, unless I don't think, make specific reference to 2.8 or 2.9.
Not anymore.
They just talk generally. Sorry, Cheryl.
And I was just actually looking back at that language in the paragraph that I had drafted that we just signed off on. We could say, going back to the middle of that paragraph, the ATRT recognizes that exploration by ICANN staff and the community of revised new mechanisms under recommendations 2.8 and 2.9 of the IIC may continue. I'm jumping forward to text fixes now, but that's something we could add to that findings paragraph that would make that point clear.
And that's fine, but I think what Peter's saying is that the actual is that 2.7 actually suggests that the input should cover not just the three existing mechanisms but also the two suggestions in 2.8 and 2.9.
So
So why,
what's
wrong with us adding that in as a recommended? Someone is crackling.
Yeah, that's an open question. Discussion on that?
Well, Brian, Peter here again. The reason for that is that you don't want it in. You don't want to have your independent expert limited to just looking at those three mechanisms. The idea was that the whole of the mechanism should be able to be looked at by the experts, which is why they're linked. If you could have a recommendation that told your expert committee to perhaps concentrate on those three, but bear in mind future work going on in these other areas or something, that might keep the thing open and still be useful.
Well, I'm fine with keeping 2.8 and 2.9 in.
I think if some attention can be directed to them, if people aren't prepared to recommend that they be implemented, that you know, I can accept that. But
Cheryl here.
Preventing the experts from looking at them was what I'm trying to get clear. Yeah. If the experts are limited to just focusing on those three, my question was: is that deliberate?
Now, it was deliberate. Now, if we go in this direction, we would then remove the word three. Fabio, your edit, the restructuring of the three review mechanisms and transparency of the three existing mechanisms.
If you leave existing, that's fine. You can remove the three. Okay.
Because we're now talking about three existing and two potential.
Well, hold on. Can we not look, if you look at the current recommendation, it's effectively one recommendation with some sub-points underneath, with Olivier's suggested added sentence, which actually brings those three sub-points in as sub-points of that recommendation. Is there anything wrong with making a second recommendation that says that, and, just to keep it simple because it's easy to read, and the independent experts should also look at the suggestions in 2.8 and 2.9?
That's what we had said when we left Boston. That's what the text was saying.
Fabio here. I had a different concern on 2.9, which is, I believe, is the board removal mechanism. Whether that should not be discussed elsewhere, and whether that should not be linked to that fundamental point that I was raising about the nominating committee having practically the power to fire the board members. Is there a case for saying board members should be appointed for a fixed, non-renewable term?
Well, they are. That's the trouble. And the trouble with the nominating committee is that the nominating committee goes into... There's a different nominating committee each time. So the nominating committee you call together to fire somebody would be different from the nominating committee that appointed them, and this was seen as a reasonably fundamental stumbling block. Once you knew you were putting a nominating committee together to fire people, we thought that would lead to inappropriate conduct.
But in any case, removal of the director's nominating committee is a separate issue from review mechanism.
Yes, it is. You're right. The 2.8 is part of review, but 2.9 is not.
Well, except that fear of removal is one of the most powerful techniques that there is the ultimate step in a review, in a challenge to the board's decision, is to challenge the board itself. That seemed to the present strategy committee to be the last of the appropriate mechanisms.
Well, we can address that just by using the word mechanism as opposed to review mechanism. But Chris said, and the independent expert should also look at the mechanisms in recommendation 2.8 and recommendation 2.9 of the IIC.
I can't see there's any harm in doing that. And I don't think it mitigates against the paragraph in the findings that says that we recognize that the community may still be working on it.
Mm.
I mean, that's fine that they may still be working on it.
And does anybody feel as though this opens the door to the ATRT is recommending that a review be done?
But we are, Brian.
But, yeah, Cheryl here. I have no problem with us going back to language that is somewhat similar to what we had when we had the version as we left or after we left Boston, which did refer to both 2.8 and 2.9 and actually had the cover sentence in reference to 2.9 that said some members of the ATRT were concerned about how 2.9 might be implemented. But, yeah, we certainly had it in the text.
Yeah, we did, and I think where we ended up with that was that we would drop off any opining about implementation or workability of the mechanisms, just say, go look at them.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
But now we're not. We're just talking about the three.
Well, I think it's worth making the distinction, and the reason I've suggested having two recommendations is that one recommendation refers to existing mechanisms and a review of those, which is one thing, and the other recommendation refers to a look at some new things. So I think it pays to separate them because they are actually two different things. One is an examination of... one is a sort of broad-brush examination of some broad-brush ideas, and the other one is a specific review of existing mechanisms. But it's worth separating them, I think.
Happy to separate, but want them mentioned.
Sure.
All right, so shall I do a read-through of what we've got on the page?
Yep.
All right. Recommendation. The ICANN board should implement Recommendation 2.7 of the 2009 Improving Institutional Confidence Implementation Plan, which calls on ICANN to seek input from a committee of independent experts on the restructuring of the three review mechanisms, the independent review panel, the reconsideration process, and the Office of Ombudsman. This should be a broad, comprehensive assessment of the accountability and transparency of the three existing mechanisms, their interrelation, if any, i.e., do the three processes provide for a graduated review process, with a view toward reducing costs, issuing timelier decisions, and covering a wider spectrum of issues in the IRP. Let's hold on that. Let's hold on that last
bit.
Yeah. The specific issues identified by the ATRT with respect to the review mechanisms should be addressed in this context. Next recommendation. And the independent experts should also look at the mechanisms in Recommendation 2.8 and Recommendation 2.9 of the IIC.
Other than deleting reference to the IRP in the preceding paragraph.
Yep.
Any objection? And that last sentence would then read, with a view toward reducing costs, issuing timely decisions, and covering a wider spectrum of issues.
Period.
Any objection? Discussion?
Woo-hoo.
Sounds like assent. All right, now let me just...
Well.
Larry.
I was thinking...
oh, no. The floor is yours.
I hesitate because I want to reach agreement as much as anybody else does today.
That's fine. Go.
But, I mean, again, how about if we took the last phrase... beginning with a view towards, and inserted the words, determining whether reducing costs, issuing timelier decisions, and covering a wider spectrum of issues would improve the accountability of the board.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we're doing this.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
I'm with me.
Yep.
And I'm not just saying that because I want to go to bed.
Although with a 4 a.m. meeting looming at me, I must say it's beginning to become a priority in my life.
Well, me going to bed is a priority in your mind. That's exciting.
Oh, look, I'm always concerned for you, Chris. You know that.
Okay, let me just make sure I've captured that, Larry. I've got, after the parentheses, do the three processes provide for graduate review process, determining whether...
Well,
go ahead.
That's fine. Determining whether...
Reducing
costs.
And then
it just, yeah, keep track of all the language up to the issues, and then would improve the accountability, would improve board accountability.
Okay, I've captured that. Any objection? Okay, I'm hearing none. Okay, one last bit then. Last chance to object. And is everyone comfortable with the earlier suggested change I made to the findings paragraph, which would now read, the ATRT recognizes that exploration by ICANN staff and the community of revised new mechanisms under Recommendation 2.8 and 2.9 of the IIC may continue. We've actually now just made a second recommendation asking the independent experts to look at 2.8 and 2.9, so we've now impacted this paragraph.
No, we haven't, because that talks about the staff in the community, and that's not independent experts.
True.
I don't think there's a problem with that. But, Brian, honestly, if that is a problem, if we think about it afterwards and we think it's a problem, this is a draft, I think it's not enough of an issue to honestly worry about right now. We can make changes to that paragraph in the findings section if we need to.
Okay.
It's the recommendations that really matter, I think.
Okay, here I am going to, when we hang up, I am accepting the changes that we've agreed to. The document is going to the translation team. So if you have any inspiration in the next 24 hours on this language, get it to me quickly. Get it to the review team quickly.
I've got a different question. You sound like you're closing things off. I've got a different question when you're ready, Brian.
Yes, please, Peter.
And I'm still, I think, on the same page. It's about the Ombudsman. This may just be a question for me, to help me, but there's a single line that says, questions have been raised about inconsistencies between the structure and operation of ICANN's Office of the Ombudsman and internationally accepted. My questions are, who raised the questions, and what are the inconsistencies? Because that seems to be the entire factual basis for that later recommendation, that they should be examined and brought into line. And my worry is that they may pay no... None of that seems to pay any attention to the fact that this is the very first ever ombudsman for the very first multi-stakeholder organisation. What are the questions that have been raised? Where do I find them? And where do I know what the inconsistencies alleged to be between our ombudsman and internationally accepted standards are?
This is Larry. I don't know if it's a complete answer, but certainly when we met with the ombudsman, he gave us two or three specific examples of how he thought he had been hampered. And part of it, I think, dealt with how his salary was determined and his term and that sort of thing. And he, I think, asserted at the time they were not within international standards. But that's all I remember specifically.
Larry, in Boston, when we gathered in the earlier morning meeting to review under Work Team 4, we also looked very quickly at some very simple searches which put out some best practice models, and those particular aspects in terms of recognised international standards for independence of ombudsman's offices were definitely highlighted there and fitted with the questions raised by him and also by, I think it was part of the non-commercial stakeholders group or the GNSO meeting in Brussels as well. It did
yes,
come out
right.
of a community question as well.
Well, Could they just be captured somewhere and put in there? Because otherwise there's no guidance at all to the reader what these are, and someone's going to have to go away, and not having had the privilege of an interview with the Ombudsman, is going to have to guess by looking at the bylaws and guess by looking at the standards.
Fabio, perhaps we could have in the findings some language that refers to what Larry and others have just said, and they're mentioned such as, but I'm sure that if one compares systematically the standards of the International Ombudsman Association with the existing situation, probably we'll find this and something else as well.
Well, I'm not saying they don't exist, Fabio. I'm just saying it would be helpful if they could be pointed to, and be clear if they arise from the fact that this is an internet ombudsman for a multi-stakeholder organisation rather than, say, you know, the banking ombudsman for somewhere. There may be very good reasons for some differences from some international standards. And under this recommendation, there's no latitude given to anybody. We just have to bring our ombudsman, for better or worse, into line with some international standards. We
will not find an answer to this now. We will have to again look at those standards, and probably this is something that we will have to do between now and Cartagena.
Well, with regard to the since we're in a drafting exercise and time is of the essence here, we could, based on those interviews, probably. We could pull in a sentence or two of generic issues that were raised by the ombudsman that were not, in his view, in line with the standards. I would be hesitant to go far beyond that, Peter, just because of time.
Okay, perhaps focus rather on the recommendation than the stat, because the recommendation simply says bring this into line with the ombuds with international standards. Why don't you make the recommendation, with a view to aligning them, or the compulsory? I'm responding to a compulsory alignment.
Fabio here. Why not make the recommendation say to bring it in line with the relevant parts of the standards of the international organization,
or the applicable parts, or something? That would seem to me a better recommendation.
Discussion. Any other views?
I'm comfortable with that because the relevant parts are the bits that we found in all sorts of ombudsman standards, measures of independence. So I don't think it'll be a terribly difficult or challenging exercise to see where the relevant parts may be.
Yes,
for someone who wishes to review them.
I think Peter's clarification is fine as well.
Yep.
Okay, this is Carlos, and I agree as well, and maybe it's a good idea to go with adequate or relevant so that we can do some study and study it a little bit more until Cartagena.
Thank you, Carlos.
Yeah. So what I've got in the draft now, God help me, am I in the right place? Yes. It would read, the operations of the Ombudsman, Office of Ombudsman, should be assessed and, to the extent they are not, should be brought into compliance with the relevant aspects of internationally recognized standards, et cetera, et cetera.
Works for me.
Fine.
Okay. Any other discussion on this point?
Sorry, Brian, this call is... Can you say it again? Are we using adequate or relevant? How are you phrasing it?
It would read, should be brought into compliance with the relevant aspects of internationally recognized standards.
Yep, I'm fine with that.
Brian, I had my hand up earlier, but it was before Peter Rosie's clarification
point. I'm sorry. I'm not in the ability room. I apologize.
Not a problem, Brian. The only reason I wanted to, you were heading towards heading things to translators, which is why I wanted to jump in.
Could somebody use their line? We have some background noise.
And I wanted to know where it says insert date, what date is going to be inserted. Otherwise, we're just going to have translated insert date here, which really won't work.
We don't know.
We are going to have insert date. That's in fact the point.
Yeah.
We're going to determine that later, but we want to signal to the community that for some of the recommendations, we do, in fact, intend to set a date as a deliverable. That's the point.
Not clear on the reading that that's what that does. That looks like it's drafting that hasn't been completed, not that a date will be inserted here.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And if it goes into five UN languages, it's not going to become any clearer.
Yeah, so maybe we should have
date
something in the introduction
date to be inserted.
Date to be inserted.
Date to be inserted. Or something like that. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe we should...
Yeah. I'll make that change.
And that is a search and replace for the whole document.
Date to be inserted. Yes. Okay. Does that solve it for you, Cheryl?
I'd be tempted to stretch it a little bit longer and say dates will be inserted in later documentation. Close parentheses.
Dates will be inserted?
In later documentation.
Right. In later documentation?
Or something similar. Otherwise, it just looks like a edit stuff up rather than an awareness exercise.
How about in date to be inserted in final recommendation?
Final reporting?
Final report.
Yep, thank you.
Which means if we don't do one of these dates, we're going to have to provide an explanation in the final report as to why we decided not to.
And that's okay, too.
Which is fine. Okay, so date will be inserted in the final report. Okay, any other catches before we finalize this? Anything at all? Because I'm making changes and sending it off.
Ryan?
Yes. Manal.
I just recognize that the 3-5 that I sent over email is
the typos?
They were under the section of the relevant at this independent I can send them again.
Yeah, send them again. I believe I caught them, Manal, but please send them again just to be sure.
I will.
Thank you. Okay, I think we've wrapped this up. I did look at the calendar. We now are going out to public comment. Our next call is in 2 weeks' time, which is fine. We only have one call scheduled between now and Cartagena. If people were comfortable, was going to start a rough draft of the final report. I think we're going to have, you know, more content here to add into the final report, and we might as well start that process even in rough form to get ahead of it. I'll hope to have something circulated to the group before the next call so we can begin addressing that. And then we're going to have, if I heard from the translation team back from Olaf, we will probably be fortunate if the translation is done by this Friday.
Okay.
And that it's not for public this Friday. So we're going to have a 30-day comment period that ends very close to the Cartagena meeting, if not, you know, a couple of days beforehand. And we'll have to address how we at least review or manage the public comment that's been received when we walk into Cartagena. That's one other item that we have to address. Other than that, that's all that I have top of mind for now. Any other agenda items before we close?
No,
okay. Thanks, everybody, for your very, very hard work getting this wrestle to the ground. I appreciate it. And this will be off the translation. If you have any other epiphanies within 24 hours, please get them to the list so we can make corrections before it gets translated. Thank you all.
Thanks, Ryan.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.